RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Minnesota, Carolina, and Buffalo, the longest win streaks in the NHL right now. The Wild are at 6, the Canes are at 5, Buffalo is at 4. That's a season best after last night's win over Philadelphia here at KeyBank Center. And that is where the Sabres will play tomorrow against the New York Islanders. They've got 3 to go before the Christmas break. They will take on the Islanders, the Devils, and then the Senators. Welcome in. A lot to get to in a short period of time, and I say that because Jarmo Kekäläinen, GM of the Sabres, is coming up. Shayna Goldman in her regular Friday time slot here, also still to come. So, you know, I got a rapid summary from last night.
This hour as 2 minutes. Not even 20, not even 30, 45, whatever. A rapid summary. Really, really struggling to get going in the first half of this game. And Alex Lyon kept the team in. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm not even saying this was an A game from Alex Lyon. He was named third star of the game. I think it was a solid B game, but early on was really good. The Flyers jumped on the Sabres. And then within the last 4 minutes of the second period, you get a couple of goals and you go on, right? And the Norris goal, that was the play of the game for me. You're on the power play. You get left alone. Like, Benson had a chance in front of Ersson earlier in the game in that same situation. Couldn't score. Mm-hmm. So Norris goes in, scores. That was the play that really made the difference for me in that moment, getting up 4-2. You give up another goal, made it 4-3. But because of that goal, it was the big difference in the game.
Two late goals in the second, as you mentioned, and then ultimately Norris with what turns out to be the game
winner. We're streaking, too. It's not just the Sabres that are streaking.
Yeah, true. I didn't want to prioritize that. I wanted to focus on the game, not us.
No. We have to, like, pump
our
own tires.
We'll get there. We'll get there. There was, unfortunately, injuries in the context of last night, too, and unfortunate, terribly so, for Connor Timmins with a broken leg, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Tyson Kozak left due to injury as well. So
when I heard broken leg, I was thinking, like, months. Right? Like at first you hear, like, oh, a leg is, but 6 to 8 weeks is probably as good as you can when you have a fracture in your leg.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously a huge blow to the penalty kill based on how much Timmins has played. And Kozak just, you know, unfortunately for him, just continues to have some challenging luck as a pro, because this was in Rochester as well before his time here with the Sabres. He is loved by the coaches at all levels for everything he does. And as you know, sometimes there's just, you know, some cruel fate attached to being a professional athlete, and staying healthy enough to give your absolute best is absolutely a challenge. And
even up to his last shift, Duffer, he was going 100 miles an hour.
That's what he does.
And I'm like, so you're looking back at the clip and you're like, okay, sometimes a player gets hurt and then you could see it in his last two shifts. You're like, hey, they're not skating the same way, or they're not going hard, and they're protecting themselves. Kosak was going 100 miles an hour up until his last shift, and then unfortunately was said to be out for the rest of the game.
Mattias Samuelsson, after his Sabres live appearance, 2 assists. He's up to 14 points. That is matched a career high. He has done so in 31 games. Zach Benson, also a multi-point game. He is up to 15 points in 20 games. So if you were going to do the math, as we were attempting to do in the summer, over a full season, had he played all the games, mm-hmm. you're looking at a 60-point Benson right now. You're taking that every single day, every single year.
With 7 goals, but 60 points.
Who cares? I said that. We had that discussion.
I said,
if he gets close to 40 assists, I'm going to love his year.
That pass he made to Norris, I talked about that goal being a key goal of the game. Not taken away from Thompson. I think that goal was huge as well. But that pass that Benson, he gets it. He knows exactly. And it's a nice saucer. Mm-hmm. And watch the replay. It lands flat. So Norris catches it, doesn't have to readjust. It's like one motion, open the goalie's legs, sweep it in. That pass by Zach Benson was awesome. And I think that that's an underrated part of a game. When you can make those type of passes and lay them flat for the recipient to not have to stick handle once or twice to settle it down, it makes the world of difference. I was impressed by that play.
Thompson on another 5-game goal streak. That's easy for you to predict as an anytime goal scorer. And, of course,
keep
that was dovetailing.
Well.
Yeah, and I did it prior to you doing it. Yeah. And then Noah Oslin, of course, has been, in your eyes, what, since November the 4th? That was the second call-up this year.
Yes.
And before you answer, allow me to say this. Among forwards, he's top 5 in shot attempt creation. Among expected goals for, he's top 3 among forwards on the team. Mm-hmm. He has been on the ice for 11 goals for and only 6 against. That is the best differential among forwards as well when looking at it more specifically from not being on for very much against, which I think is still very important for a team that gives up 3.4 per game.
Well, the best thing about Noah Oslin in his game is that you see the speed, you see the creativity offensively. Even in a streak where he had only 1 assist in 9 games after that 2-goal game, mm-hmm. Here at home against the Oilers, you saw the complete game that he can play. Without producing, he was still one of my favorite on the ice. Mm-hmm. And now that he's been put on the line, I said it on this show yesterday, I'm like, it almost feels to me like Norris, Tuck, and Oslin are, like, in my book, big whiteboard. They're almost the first line. And the way that they can play the puck possession game, the control game, they're good defensively. And yes, when Noah scored his goal, it was a great breakout in speed by Bo Byram that started it all. And I think that the smart play by Noah Oslin was to stay at the blue line.
He was the last man
because
back.
Because Byram was in, and he stayed at the blue line and acted like a defenseman. Byram stayed in front of the net and in the slot for the screen and deflection. Mm-hmm. And Austin's like, okay, well, Norris is in and Tuck is in. I'm going to stay back. And he was rewarded because of those simple but efficient plays.
Do you think we're being pushed by producer Sam to offer up anytime goal scorers today for tomorrow's game or not? Just because we are riding streaks right now?
Well, I'm going to stick with my streak. I'm going Tage Thompson tomorrow as well.
You would.
I would. You know what? I did see Noah Oslin this morning, and I said, did you hear us in Seattle celebrating your goal? He goes, no, why? I'm like, because we do this thing on the show about for anytime goal scorer. And you came back, and Duffer obviously picked you, and he picked you again last night. And you may have heard him celebrate also last night in the building.
All right. Well, it was another win all the way around, especially for those of us who are doing anytime goal scorer. Thompson leaned on by Marty, and Noah Oslin has been really helpful to yes. my cause over the last two. So more on anytime goal scorers later in the show. Shayna Goldman, of course, at the bottom of the hour coming up. KeyBank Center's 5 days of cheer giveaway series rolls on for day 2 with the rock and roll giveaway. You can win 2 tickets to see Journey here at KeyBank Center on June 10th, plus 2 tickets for the Bandits Rush on February 27th for rock and roll night. Visit sabres.com/KBC5. Great to have Sabres GM Jarmo Kekalainen joining us. How are you after the first win last night?
I'm doing good. It's always easier to sleep after a nice home win.
Do you get good sleep? Because Duffer is a terrible sleeper. I'm a great sleeper. I get 8 hours, no problem. Sometimes 10 if I push it. How's your sleep pattern?
I don't think I ever get 10. I'd like to sometimes, but to be honest, the engine's kind of going after the game, so it takes me a little while to fall asleep, but I slept good last night.
That's good.
If I get 7, I'm happy.
Yeah, 7's a good number. Yeah. Like 7 would be like what people strive to get. You go to bed at midnight, wake up at 7, get your day going. I think that's pretty good.
Sounds pretty good to me.
What does it feel like for you second time around now as a general manager? When we spoke back in the spring, we went through, you know, your history, all the different positions you've held in hockey. But this is now a second go around as a general manager. What's it feel like?
It feels good. I kind of forgot how busy it is. I call it the squirrel wheel. You know, I got back on the squirrel wheel a few days ago, and it's been nonstop ever since. So phone calls all day and meetings and mm-hmm. interviews and all this stuff. It's a little busier life for sure, but I love every second of it.
One thing that stood out to a lot of people when they watch your press conference is talking about character. So, I mean, character could be defined in so many different ways. Hard work and, you know, just competitiveness and all that. Like, what's the number one thing you look in character?
Well, I think just as you said, there's so many elements to character. I think, you know, the competitiveness, but it's just not always on the ice either. It's mm-hmm. it's competing against yourself when you're in the gym, having the discipline off the ice when you have to make good decisions on whether you're going to get your rest, you're going to get your nutrition, you're going to get your sleep.
I played with some guys that did not have that discipline.
Yeah. So be the best version of yourself. There's a lot of different things that go into that, and you know, it's important for every guy on the team to have that character that you can be the best version of yourself every night or every day when we practice here.
The character that you speak of, is that something that became a focal point for you when drafting and being an evaluator of talent, which you have been now for decades?
Absolutely. I think it's the hardest part of a player to evaluate. You know, it kind of struck a chord with me one time. Long time ago, I saw an interview of Jim Courier, who was a number one tennis player in the world. But he had kind of an unorthodox style of play, and he was playing against Andre Agassi, who was a very talented player. And they interviewed Courier, and he said, they said to him, you know, how are you going to deal with this? Because Agassi is so much more talented than you are. And he said that, I have character, and I consider that talent. And I always remember that, and because I thought the same way always, that it's the hardest part to evaluate in a hockey player. You don't just go into the press box and watch the players play and pick it up like this. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to watch game after game after game to see the consistency, the competitiveness, the character of the player. And then you have to do your background work. Talk to a lot of people of what they do on and off the ice and how disciplined they are, like we talked about, and all those different elements of character. So that's the hardest part of scouting. Anybody who has been around hockey can go into a game and say, this guy can play, he's a good skater, he's a good passer, shooter, all this stuff. But does he have the character? Does he have the instincts to play the game? That takes a lot of time.
So when you're a GM, there's a lot of things that you got to do. You got to, you know, look at contracts and draft players and make trades and scout and all of it. Like, what is the one element that you feel is maybe the most fun to you and maybe one that's underrated that people don't often talk about?
I don't know about the underrated, but for me, going into the game, that's the biggest part of it. Just having the little butterflies before the game, watching the game, seeing the guys compete, how we play, that's the most fun part for sure. I enjoy the player evaluation part of it. I enjoy the interaction with the players. You know, I don't have a lot of formal meetings where they come to my office you know, we talk about things, but I like to be in the lunchroom and I like to walk through the gym and have a few words with the players and see how they're doing and how they're interacting with the teammates and all of that stuff. You know, I've been in the hockey locker room all my life, and that's probably the biggest part that every player that played will tell you that they miss, is the banter in the locker room and the choking and all of that. So that's probably the most fun part for me.
Do you remember the first trade you ever made as a general manager?
I don't think that I put so much emphasis on what was first or second or third. So, yeah, I'd have to think about that.
It might have been Kubalik for Mahacek when you were with Columbus.
I honestly don't remember, but there was a few.
To that point, how comfortable does that become for you as an evaluator, as someone who needs, you know, makes changes to improve the team? Like, when did you find a comfort zone in making deals?
Well, I think you have to do the due diligence on why you're doing this, why how is it improving your team, and then you have to make a decision to go with it. And you know, it's there's a few nervous moments there always, because it's hard to evaluate the human behavior, mm-hmm. or predict the human behavior, so they don't always go exactly as planned. But that's why we have the player evaluators, the scouts, the management evaluating what we need, how our what we can do to get our team better. And then we just have to make the decision based on the process that we put into it, and we'll see the results in the future.
One thing that I was so impressed with when we first talked to you, and I had no idea, and maybe I should have done my homework a little bit better back then, is that you left, you know, Finland to be coming over and play at Clarkson when it wasn't very popular for Europeans to come over. And so when you got the job here, are you still on a email thread or text thread with some of the Clarkson buddies and people? And what was that like when you got the job?
Yeah, I still am. And sometimes in the Facebook, you get messages from guys. And there's a couple of them living in the state of New York, and there's a couple of them living in Toronto that I always got together with when we played in Toronto. And so, yeah, it's great. Great to stay in touch with those guys. The bond lives forever with the guys that you shared that locker room with.
All of our interactions in life help shape us. You know, we just sometimes don't realize it in the moment. How about family for you and your family's history in the game, your father, your brothers, and just how that molded you?
Yeah, it's hockey's been part of our family ever since we you know, first learned to walk and play with the mini sticks. And my two brothers are a little bit younger than I am, four and 5 years younger. So I got to beat up on them a little bit. And my father played hockey and was a player on the highest level in Finland and was my idol. So he just passed away. So
yeah. And when you shared that on social media, and obviously our condolences, what is the importance, like, when you post something like that, where does that come from, and why do you, you know, want to relay that to people to, you know, to share your story?
Well, he had a lot of friends in hockey, and, you know, met some of them with me and through me, and just wanted to let everybody know about his legacy.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful legacy.
It's a beautiful legacy, and I think that's one of the things that you know, this community, Western New York, they want to ride this personal wave with the people here. I mean, I've been here since I got drafted in 1995, and I keep telling people I feel like they helped shape who I am in this community. And I feel like the, you know, you getting hired as the new general manager, the 10th for the Sabres, feel like the community right away from your first press conference really got on board with your message, with who you are. What kind of interaction have you had with maybe just being at Tim Hortons, or, you know, with anybody around here so far in the last few days?
You know, I've gotten most of the friends here on the pickleball court.
Oh.
Playing in Williamsville, and great bunch of guys, and you know, they talk about hockey passionately, and you can see the passion of the fans here anywhere you go. And Columbus is a great hockey town too, but the passion for hockey is not quite on the level that it is here. And obviously the Ohio State football there is the biggest thing.
Yep.
And I could walk unnoticed anywhere, basically. And if anybody ever said anything, it was like, go Jackets, and that was it. But here, you know, people ask you questions, and people have gone through the border to watch the games in Toronto, and then they ask about the Sabres because they see my name on the passport. So you can tell that this is just a great hockey town. And as I mentioned in the press conference, very similar to Finland. You know, I've been a general manager of both teams in Helsinki, and it's a huge rivalry between IFK Helsinki and Jokerit. Yeah. And when I worked for IFK, the Jokerit fans hated me and heckled me in the restaurants and anywhere I walked. And then I worked for Jokerit, and the IFK fans were okay because we won the championship together. So, but the passion for hockey in Helsinki, Finland, is incredible, and I see very many similarities here in Buffalo.
You mentioned tennis earlier with Jim Courier, Andre Agassi. Now you mentioned pickleball. I'm going to ask you straight up, this or that. You got to pick one or the other.
I'm not
pickleball or tennis.
I'm not picking one because I love tennis, and it's one of the greatest sports on earth in my opinion, and I still play it. And my wife's passionate about tennis, so I got to be her tennis slave. Oh. I call myself her tennis slave, so I got to play with her, and because she enjoys it so much. And I love tennis. I love playing tennis. But I've really gotten the new passion for the pickleball probably 7-8 years ago, before it really blew up here in U.S. I started playing it, and it's such a fascinating sport because it's both easy to start for people that haven't played racket sports, but then it's also challenging if you want to get to the level where the really good players are. So I enjoy it very much.
On Instagram, I think I saw you and Kimmo Tiimonen on the court. I played with Kimmo in Philadelphia. He's a great guy. I didn't know. Is he a good tennis player? Would you put yourself in the higher level of pickleball and tennis? Like, what's your pickleball, there's a ranking, right? What's your level?
I haven't played enough tournaments to. I do have above a 5-0 duper for some reason, even though I haven't played in many tournaments. But Kimmo Tiimonen is a great tennis player, and he beats me in tennis, but I beat him in pickle.
Nice.
That's good.
Well, maybe this will be easier for you to pick one. Jari Kurri or Teemu Selänne?
Both good friends of mine, both great hockey players, both Hall of Famers. Curry's got more Stanley Cups. Teemu's got more points in games, and it's hard to pick. But the championships and Jari won the Conn Smythe Trophy too, I believe. And so let's just keep them right there. Even they're both great.
Pekka Rinne or Mika Kiprusoff?
Well, my brother works for Nashville, and he was a big part of drafting Pekka Rinne, so I'm going to say Pekka Rinne there. But he's got a statue. I don't think Mika has a statue yet. He has a jersey up in the rafters, and both great goalies too. But I'll go with Pekka there.
Regular baseball, like American baseball or Finnish baseball?
I'm not a fan of Finnish baseball. Oh, it's pretty popular there. I think it's an easier copy of the American baseball. I have a lot of respect for the athletes in baseball here. It's incredible how they can throw the ball and hit the ball from those pitches that they can throw. It's just incredible.
They
to
just
watch.
Need a river in the outfield, like in Finland. They hit the ball, it goes into the creek. They jump in the creek to get it. It's crazy. If you've never seen it, go online, Google a Finnish baseball. It's absolutely wild.
Yeah, one of my good pickleball friends is Kent Merker. He's a former pitcher in the Major League Baseball. I think he played for 19 years, and he's as passionate about pickleball as anybody right now. And he still throws the ball. Sometimes he throws the pickleball at you, and it's coming so hard. It's like, whoa, he's still got it, even though he's almost as old as I am.
Apple or Spotify?
I do have both because I have two daughters that are into music and 18 and soon 21 years old. So I use Spotify more.
What's your 2025 playlist look like?
The daughters and my wife are in charge of the playlist more than I. I usually just pick this and that, but I listen to all kinds of music. I even listen to a lot of classical music.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that... In North America, it's basically English everywhere. And it's rare that, people pick up different language. In Europe, you pick up different language. And if you're in Finland, maybe you got some family in Sweden and whatnot. Other than Finnish and English, what are you comfortable with other language and learning them along the way?
Jag kan prata svenska.
Oh, so I don't know what that is.
I can speak Swedish. I already told Rasmus Dahlin to be careful what you say here because I can understand Swedish. I played in Sweden for a year, and you have to take it in school starting seventh grade. It's mandatory. It's a second official language of Finland, just like French is in Canada.
Yep.
So I can speak and understand Swedish pretty fluently, and probably a little rusty now that I haven't used it too much, but I can understand a little bit of German, read it and understand it better than speak, but I could probably ask for directions if I needed to get to Munich or Berlin.
So I got to Turku and Helsinki in the 2003 World Championship. So I know Kitos, which is thank you, obviously. Holyuva is you're welcome.
Yeah.
And then Coxy Alut, I think that's
two beers.
So if I needed eight, like if I needed to go to the bar and get a bunch, I would go four times and order two beers four different times. So that will get me by in Finland, I think.
Yeah.
Smarty math right there.
I can teach you what's eight beers after we do this.
Okay, perfect. I'm good.
Do you have, I don't know, a hero might be overstating it, but just someone that you, in the sports realm, doesn't have to be hockey, that you'd simply admire the most?
Again, I think I'd have more than one. So, you know, I admire great athletes, but again, I admire people even more that they're great in their sport, but then they're good people and treat everybody mm-hmm. the right way and with respect. So that type of people that I admire the most. So, you know, I don't know if I'd have to name one, but, you know, I love tennis. So like Roger Federer, the way he carries himself, he's mm-hmm. just always the ultimate gentleman and a great ambassador for the sport. And, you know, you mentioned the two Finnish guys. I think they're both great ambassadors for the, mm-hmm. for the sport of hockey and hockey players in general are great guys. There's not too many guys over the years that I've been in hockey, whether it was as a player or as a manager or in the management, I haven't met too many guys that I would say that I dislike because, you know, the hockey locker room's so tight that there's just no room for guys that don't carry themselves the right way and with respect to the other teammates.
But there is, and you seem like and we've got to know you a little bit. You're a very easygoing guy, competitive, intense inside. I don't have a lot of guys that I've not gotten along in hockey, but I can tell you if I had to make a deal with Matt Cook, it would probably not go well. Like, we would probably throw some punches in there. Is there, like, some GMs over the years that you're like, this is going to be tough, I got to make that phone call, and I know we don't like each other?
Probably. Again, I'm not going
to
name
names.
No,
you don't have to. But I just want to know. There is.
You know, even in that case, I try to treat them with the at least with the respect that they've earned and deserve, and be professional about it. But I think I'm probably a little bit shorter, a little bit more blunt with guys like that, and maybe they sense it too.
And when you hang up, you pick up the phone, call your wife, and then just vent and finish, and I'm sure it's all good.
I try to leave the work stuff out of the house, but I'm not always successful with that.
Thank you for being here today. Great to see you.
Great to see you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks to Yarmo for the time today. Home for the holidays, 55th.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The raffle. It is presented by Northtown Automotive. It is live right now. Purchase your tickets for a chance to win a guaranteed jackpot of $25,000. Tickets can be purchased now at Sabres.com/5050. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres home to the Islanders tomorrow. Amherst are home tonight. Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity event is rapidly approaching. It is presented by New Era Cap Foundation. It's at Babeville on January the 16th. That's a Friday night. Of course, Ryan Miller headlining. He'll have a whole bunch of his 0506 teammates there. Live set from Strictly Hip, open bar and more. Sabres.com/catwalk. Now the Sabres, of course, coming off a win last night with Alex Lyon in goal. He's trending towards a sixth straight appearance tomorrow. As practice would indicate today, and why would you switch right now based on how well Lyon is going? Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is with us right now. But Shayna, we can't dive in any further on this without reeling the Oilers into the conversation because, unfortunately, they are dealing with goaltender injury after Tristan Jarry left last night. Mark Spector from Sportsnet is reporting that Jarry is flying home today to be evaluated for a lower body injury and that Connor Ingram is likely to be called up, and then it will be, you know, salary cap manipulation from here on out for the Oilers to make things work. This is a long way of getting at three goalies here in Buffalo, and other teams have had three goalies too. Do we suspect that Edmonton might have to go to the trade well once again?
With what assets, I ask you? I didn't know which Canadian team we were going to start with because there's two just begging for our attention. But I love that we went here first because, like, listen, nobody's rooting for a Tristan Jarry injury. Like, let's get that straight. But could you have foreseen this potentially happening when you think about his durability over the years? Like, absolutely. And it happened so soon into his tenure. And this is why you don't give up, I don't know, a first, Brett Kulak, and Jarry. And as much as it, you know, had to happen for them to make this contract fit, you just look at all the decisions that got the Oilers here that they had to clear cap space in the first place. So really tough look for them for this to happen so soon. And now I don't think they dive into another trade just yet, but I don't think that goaltending situation that they're going to have, given how Pickard has played this year, is going to be sustainable either.
Yeah, a little salary retention would have helped the Oilers on the Tristan Jarry 2 years remaining on that contract. There's a lot of speculation around. Some of the insiders are saying that Alex Lyon would be the guy that people are calling on. I'm sorry, but if I'm the Buffalo Sabres, Alex Lyon is my number one goaltender right now, and I'm trying to make a push for the playoffs, and he has another year on his contract. I wouldn't do that. But the other Canadian team you're talking about, would that be the Toronto Maple Leafs? And you know, like what's going on? They lost 4-0 to Washington last night. Auston Matthews doesn't look himself. Like, what is going on in Toronto?
I don't know. Ask the guys in there what's going on in Toronto. That situation is brutal because I think it's fair to say Matthews doesn't look 100%. Like, okay, I'm not a doctor. I'm not speculating on injury. But to me, he doesn't look like he's been at 100% over the last two seasons now. But it also coincides with Craig Berube coming in with this style that I don't think is ideal for Austin Matthews. I don't think it was ideal for Mitch Marner either. I think it's this grit and grind gets taken too far. And if you want the rest of your lineup to play a certain way, it's one thing. But at the end of the day, when you have star talent, you should be maximizing it. And while you can make a million arguments about how the core four was flawed or the core three or whatever they're calling it now in Toronto is flawed, at the end of the day, you have to try to put your superstars in a position to succeed. I don't feel like that's been done. And while I think the players need some accountability, right? Naturally, it's always said, like, the players who make 10 plus million, they have to be accountable. When you bring in a coach who's not a tactician and is a people manager, right? And I know we've talked about this before. Your job is to manage those, the people, right? It's the vibes. It's the energy. It's whether the guys are playing to their best, not just the X's and O's. And it just feels like that's not happening either. So this whole situation has just been wonderful.
If Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota all play at 700 or better the rest of the way, which is probable, I would say at this point, the Avs are 803 on the season, Dallas is 785 over the last almost 30 games, and Minnesota is 850 over the last 20. If they all play above 700, who would be the favorite when the playoffs begin?
It's got to be the Avs still. I feel like if anyone has something
really
to prove. Yep. Yeah. I mean, listen. Dallas is really deep. I think that they were not the better team in that series last year, but obviously they went on the deeper run, and I think they knew to turn it on when it mattered most in Game 7. I think the Wild have some work to do around the fringes before I'm there on them yet, and I think the Quinn Hughes move is excellent. I think they have such an elite core, and I think that they don't get enough credit for what they did with Vegas in that series last year, but at the end of the day, this Avs team has very few flaws. I think that Jared Bednar is a very smart coach that we're going to see them start experimenting. So they have all these options. And I think of that cup year, they were so far ahead of everyone. I felt like they just started testing things to go, okay, if something happens in the playoffs, we need other solutions. And they were at the ready with them. I also think they have something to prove because they really haven't gone on a deep run in some time. So if you're not going to do it this year, when?
The San Jose Sharks are in a playoff spot right now, and Macklin Celebrini is just on fire and so exciting to watch. Now, I've been asked the last couple of days here many times, if you had to pick between two players to be on the on Team Canada, Nick Suzuki or Macklin Celebrini, who do you think would be ahead of the other?
It depends on the rest of the roster. Like, this is the thing. None of these moves are done in a vacuum because, yes, you need the best players available, but you also have certain roles to fill. And I think this is, like, the biggest part of the conversation, right? Like, there's a handedness factor to consider. And then there's who's going to play the penalty kill, who's going to be trusted in shutdown minutes. So it depends who else they bring. Say they're going the Bennetts of the world and the Tom Wilsons of the world and loading up that way, or they have a Cirelli on the team. I know he got hurt last night, but say that they went that way. It's Celebrini hands down, but I think we're getting to the point now where it's going to be Suzuki versus Horvat in that conversation, Suzuki versus Scheifele or Bedard. And Celebrini has done himself to, I think, elevate himself above any debates. He should be a lock.
Yeah, I got Celebrini as a lock right now, so I like that. I think he's, well, Duffer, you kind of mentioned maybe the MVP so far in the NHL when we were talking off the air this morning. So.
Yeah, it's a long list, obviously, of candidates for the Hart this year, but I think Celebrini's going to be a finalist at the very least. I'm going to stay on the West here because I'm fixated on all these good teams, and yet I'm not convinced that Vegas is one of them, even though they are on a 6-0-2 streak. It seems underwhelming. They have lost 10 games beyond regulation this year, which is startling. Now, granted, they didn't have Jack last night and whatever. But this Vegas team, Shayna, has 16 wins and 16 losses. And because of what we just talked about with Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, even with the offseason acquisition of Marner, like, should Vegas be concerned that they're not as good as the teams in the Central, or is this just early season, whatever?
A little bit of both, okay? Because they're lucky they are in a very weak Pacific division that is driven a lot by loser points. Like, you go through the standings, and the Pacific division, it's the Kraken, it's the Kings, it's the Golden Knights. They are driving that conversation way up, which is why we're talking way more about three-point games this year. So that's part of it. But I think that you're seeing some holes develop there in Vegas, and part of it's, you know, like Shea Theodore has stepped up into a bigger role because Petrangelo is not there. They're not sharing matchup minutes. It's him and McNabb taking them. And I think they've done a great job. But on the flip side of it, I don't think Noah Hanifin's having as good of a year without Alex Pietrangelo. And I think you're seeing some issues with their defensive depth. The goaltending situation is not perfect. I don't care how many reps Carter Hart gets in. I'm not sold on that train at all because I don't think he's as good as the other goaltenders out there, right? It just not worth it in my book. I think that they have a deep forward group that's going to help them when they're healthy. They're going to look a lot better. But no, I think their playing style has something to do with it because they're not as electric as like Colorado or Dallas. But just in general, they are the more underwhelming projected contender of the West.
Okay, well, we did have Jarmo Kekäläinen on in the first half hour. You know, new GM of the Buffalo Sabres. A file that's on his desk right now is Alex Tuck and his new contract. Some reports surfaced last week to say that he wants more than Adrian Kempe, who's making $10.6 million. Shayna, at that number, is that just a product of the cap going up and then, well, you got to pay Alex Tuck whatever? Or is this just crazy to think that you could be closer to $11 million for Alex Tuck?
At this point, it's not crazy to think it because there are not many players left for free agency. And we can look ahead and say, but in 2027, it doesn't matter. They're not going to get there either. It doesn't happen right in today's NHL. So if you want those kinds of players, you generally have to overpay them. And I don't think it's that big of a deal to overpay someone who's, say, a top line or a top pair defenseman, a top goaltender, because you can balance the books elsewhere, right? Like, you can have those low-key contracts at the bottom of your lineup that it's like all their checks and balances. I'd rather overpay a guy like that than overpay, say, a third liner or a second pair defenseman or a third pair defenseman, like we saw happen this past summer. So the reality of the market, of what other players were paid, who is or isn't going to be available, and the growing cap situation, it plays perfectly for Tuck right now because he has way more leverage. Then you also look at it like, how will the Sabres improve if not for him? He plays an important role here. There's a reason he's going to be in Team USA consideration, right? It's the penalty killing. It's that two-way play. And it's a right-handed shot. So I think that there's a lot to like about him, that if that's the player to overpay on, I get it. Is it a little ridiculous to think he could make as much? Absolutely. Like, that conversation is still fair to have, but it's just, you know, what everything has become because free agents don't go to July 1st.
So if you're LA, overpaying Cody Ceci was not the right move. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I would say no to that one. I would say no to Dumoulin. I would look at Columbus and say no to Provorov as well. There were a lot of contracts handed out that I'm like, oh, we're going there. And then the market gets skewed, and then the big guys get paid a lot, and everyone's like, Kirill Kaprizov's overpaid. I'd rather overpay Kirill Kaprizov every day than Cody Ceci.
Right. Seattle has one win in the last 11.
Yeah.
St. Louis has not won a game beyond regulation this year. They are 0-8. Pittsburgh's 1-9 in that regard. Which team do you think makes a big move here? I feel like St. Louis is in this equation every year until they figure things out. But Seattle was not, again, supposed to be in this mix, and they have fallen very hard in the last month.
I don't know if anyone's making a good move to improve, to be honest. I feel like Seattle and big moves don't really go hand in hand. Maybe that changes this year, but just kind of the vibe. I think the Blues could be the team I could see doing something to shake things up a little bit more, right? Like, they could do something totally wild and out there. I think of the three candidates because the Penguins, if anything, have players to move out and continue with the process because this start was just unexpected. It's not like they thought they'd be here, but they were, so ride the wave. And if it doesn't work out, it's like, okay, get back to business, get back to the plan. So I'll go with the Blues. They could be the team to shake something up, do something totally, totally wild because there are players on that team whose names, you know, go through the rumor mill all the time. We've heard so much about Jordan Kyrou and Binnington and this and that and the other thing. So they would probably be the most interesting one to me, but all three, I just fear they're all cooked.
Has Binnington lost value, Marty, to you?
Yeah, I don't even have him as the backup of Team Canada. I'm bringing him as a third wheel just because he won the Four Nations Faceoff last year. And who knows, if there's a couple of injuries, he goes in and big game Benner comes back. But I don't even have him as a top two on Team Canada for the Olympics. Shayna, a team that's close to you, the New York Rangers, they got shut out at home again the other day. They finally won one last night. It was a 2-1 overtime. But their offense has gone so dry. Like, is this just Mike Sullivan not being able to get the right system? Or is it the Panarin and the Zibanejad and all of that roster not performing at all?
Two things. I think the system, they veered too far into the grit and grind, which I understand why he wanted to establish a stronger forecheck and get the team clicking a certain way, because we can look at the Rangers from the last 5 years and say they barely had a system, and that was the truth, right? Like, they really didn't do much of anything at 5-on-5. It was special teams and goaltending for so many years. So I get wanting to implement that. I think you need to be able to find ways to retrieve pucks and cycle plays and extend zone time if you can't perfectly carry the puck in. But it felt like they were making the wrong decisions. And I think now that you see him trying to push this idea of a hybrid system of when the play is there to carry it in, you should be carrying it in. You have to make proper reads, and you have to try to make them defend you a little bit more and hang on to the puck and play the possession game. That's a good thing. But at the end of the day, this roster can only perform so much. I think you have underperformances. I'm not even going to put it on Zibanejad because I think he's actually been good. It's players like JT Miller, and I know he's had a lot of overtime goals, but the process leading up to those big moments of the game winners is not there for me. I mean, he's not even playing center. I think Trocheck has underperformed. I think you're seeing, you know, players like Will Cooley have taken a step back. So the roster was always going to be an issue with, like, the amount of finishing talent they do or don't have, and there's not a ton of options to improve that. But it's just, like, extremely strained this year when this is a team that generally scores above expected.
Shana, 20 seconds. Tuck over Tage in your Olympic projection right now?
Yes. And, okay, this is one that was very controversial. Like, why don't I have him as the 4C? I took Shane Pinto instead. It's the roles and responsibilities. They all have to be filled out. You're going up against Team Canada and that elite power play. You need guys who are going to be first over the boards penalty killers. And right now, if you don't include someone like Pinto, you don't have that at 4C, right? Even if it's JT Miller, that job is not filled. You have Matt Boldy as the only forward who is like a PK number one kind of guy. Jack Eichel, those kinds of players, those are your second, third unit. So I felt that it was better to have a righty who could kill penalties, and that is Tuck. So you could go Tuck or Boldy as your one or two on the PK over Tage. And I was shocked I was making that decision. It ended up being Nelson over Tage at the end because of that overall utility too.
You're worse than Marty. That was way over 20.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Second. Shayna, all your work can be found at The Athletic. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week. Or the week after. There's Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Birthdays as we wind down. Former Sabres Ron Schock, Scott Pearson, Carter Hutton, 40th, by the way. And happy birthday, Will Borgen, who's 29 today.
Okay, just
are you not surprised that I didn't lead with Will Borgen?
I know, Will Borgen. It should have been the start of the show, but we had Yarmo on, so that was a thing. Go back and watch the interview on YouTube if you can, if you missed it, or go on the Odyssey app, WGR 550, and catch it. Just quickly.
Yes.
So everybody's talking about Torts and the Tage Thompson thing in the first intermission. Mm-hmm. I've had those video sessions 100 times, and Torts used to tell that to a guy like Marion Gaborik all the time, and Gabby scored 40-plus goals in his career many times. He won a Stanley Cup with the LA Kings. Like, certain players sometimes will make mistakes, but then, you know, it wasn't Tage's best game, but he scored, and that made a big goal, so that's what it is.
Fans make mistakes sometimes, like last year at the Teddy Bear Toss in Rochester when there was no scoring through regulation and overtime, and then when the first goal of the shootout happened, they littered the ice with teddy bears when the Amherst Devon Levi still needed to make a save.
Yeah, it wasn't over.
Thankfully, he did, and chance at a redo, and hopefully more offense tonight for the Amherst on Teddy Bear Toss night as they are home at Blue Cross Arena to Belleville. We're looking forward to the Sabres tomorrow. They're home here against the Islanders. We're on 4:30 with pregame coverage. We'll see you then. Enjoy the weekend.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.